Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. All this week, WBUR's arts team, The Artery, has been taking a look at 25 millennials of color who are bringing fresh new perspectives to Boston's art scene. Performance artist Tory Bullock is one of them. He's known for his viral videos where he takes on everything from the weather to race and real estate in Boston.
Boston, I'm gonna be real with you right now. I love you, girl, all right? And we've been in a relationship for like my entire life, but honestly, it's starting to feel like you're trying to push me away. But then when I try to walk away, you're sitting there, you're like, no, please don't go. All I see is all these studies and reports and companies being like, why are all the young professionals moving out of Boston? It's right there. It's your new dude. It's that new chick you're trying to be with right there. Boston, we've been together for a long time, girl. I want to know, will you give me some affordable rent?
And Tory Bullock joins us now in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for doing it. And I don't know if you found that rent yet, but we'll get to it in a second.
Oh, we haven't. Oh, I'll let you know.
We're also joined by Catherine Morris, who, while she's not an artist herself, has advocated for diversity and inclusion in the local art scene as founder and executive director of the Boston Arts and Music Soul Festival, better known as BAMS Fest. Catherine, thanks for being here as well.
Oh, I am truly happy to be here. Well, next to my brother.
Great. Well, we're glad to have you both. And I just want to give folks a little taste of BAMS Fest, so let's hear a clip of Jamaica Plain rapper and producer Billy Dean Thomas performing at last year's festival.
I said dollar, 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 holla, dollar, 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 holla, say dollar, 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 in the tree. All I need is a dollar in the tree.
Sounds fun.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, yeah, let's start with this Artery 25 list. Why do you think it's important to shed light on this aspect, this part of the Boston art scene? Start with you.
Because people think that there's nothing going on in Boston. And when you bring up...
No fun Boston?
Yeah, no. When you bring up artists in Boston or the art scene in Boston, people are like, huh? Like, you guys play baseball, right? And then when you say, oh, no, let's talk about the black art scene or the people... I don't want to say black scene, but the...
Well, no, it's kind of true.
Okay,
it's
kind of true. Well, the people of color scene in Boston, when you bring that up to people, they're like, I didn't even know black people lived in Boston,
yeah,
let alone created art, so...
Catherine? Yeah. I mean, why do you think that is?
There's various reasons for that. I think for me, why I started what I wanted to do is because I looked at comparable cities that where arts and culture is a social norm. It is part of your lifestyle versus Boston making it a thing and very, very segregated about who has access to that thing. And so that is, I felt like that has penetrated down as to why arts and culture doesn't get the love it deserves, because we have not made it a part of who we are every single day. I think practicing artists do, but the community at large, stakeholders, funders, donors, very, very picky about where our funds go to and who's promoted and who's not promoted.
So how do you think Boston compares to other cities like Chicago, LA, Philly?
If we are in the top 10 list, we're probably 11.
Mm.
In my opinion. Now, I've lived in Philly. I've seen festivals in North Carolina. I've gone to things in Florida. I've seen things in Detroit. They just kind of do it better, in my opinion. Even with little resources, but everyone knows about the arts and culture scene, it is just part of who they are every single day.
So then, Tory, what are those other cities doing better?
I think that it really is... It's a part of who they are. It's the arts feel like they're taken seriously. It feels like it's a part of just the more general discussions that are being had within all these cities. People are talking about the arts and like how important it is to education and how important it is to all these other things. And in Boston, it's seen as kind of a hobby. It's seen as something you do for fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool thing you do after school, but it's not something that you do to really create change and really share your voice.
And you said a little earlier that, you talk about arts in Boston and particularly artists of color in Boston. You said other folks don't even know that there are black people living in Boston. Mm-hmm. And so building off of that, I guess race is at the core of so much in this city, but Boston's complicated history with race, is that part of this story?
Yeah, I just think that when Boston is a very specific thing to a very specific person, and we are sports, we are that pride, we are that love, but it's not love for everybody. It's love for that very particular type of Boston. Even people who come to Boston, they go to where to what they saw in the movies. They go to Charlestown. They go to, you know, Faneuil Hall, but they're not necessarily coming to all of Boston, you know? So I feel like there's kind of a national sentiment about what Boston is that we even feed, that we even believe ourselves.
So then, Catherine Morris, how what can we do as a city and a region to change that?
Ooh, that's a great question.
I know, how much time do we have?
I think at a political level, I think the mayor and governor need to come together and partner and take arts and culture seriously. And I know there's a variety of different bills, you know, happening and being passed. But comparatively to like Chicago and Philadelphia, the mayor and governors of those states have amplified and raised more public funding to support that. And we haven't done that here. Right. So there's that level of politics. I think the other thing is that venues that have been steeped in their history, their bias, their race, their racism, all those things, to me, they really have to modernize themselves. There's a lot of venues that were built for wind ensembles, but amplification is where it is. The way that theater is done, it is much more participatory than what the buildings were made for at the time. Things have to be modernized at this point. The generation is different. The tools and technology are different now, and a lot of venues can't even accommodate that. So often, arts practitioners, music practitioners have to be very creative about where they go, which is a great thing because it helps those redefine what space means to different audiences. But for the existing institutions, they really have to start changing their way of thinking about different genres, different art disciplines, and the audiences that are going to be here regardless whether you like them or not.
So, Catherine Morris, you're the founder and executive director of Boston Arts and Music Festival, BAMS Fest.
Yeah.
So, in talking about venues and thinking about venues, when you launched BAMS Fest, how did you think about venues? How did you pick a venue?
When it came to an outdoor space, I think I went to 16 different green spaces in the state. And there were some towns that didn't want us. They didn't want communities of color. They didn't want artists of color. And I said, okay, that's Boston. That's my state. And then I went kind of deeper into the neighborhoods that I grew up in and selected Franklin Park, just given its history over the last 30, 40 years, being an epicenter for cultural exchange, celebrating different ethnicities and activities. It just made sense to be at Franklin Park. And then me standing on the shoulders of Elma Lewis and her legacy and literally.
And she had a playhouse in the park there, right?
Absolutely. And bringing the Duke Ellingtons and bringing the Charlie Parkers. A lot of that history has been forgotten. So BAMS Festival is really a 2.0 version of that in a way that brings all generations together, reintroduces our audiences to a variety of different genres and art disciplines in a way where they can define their own experience in a different green space that everyone knows.
And was it a challenge to launch a new music festival in Boston?
Absolutely. It's taken me 8 years to get this thing off the ground.
Wow.
I've gotten more no's than yeses. However, there have been a few people who have supported my vision because I've been consistent. And that is the thing in Boston. Once you lose consistency, you lose the faith of the people. So I did smaller events just to prove the fact that it's coming at some
point. Proof of concept.
Absolutely. And then being a Boston girl allowed me to kind of get through different social circles that otherwise would probably have said no to me. But consistency is key. And when you're present in the communities that you want to affect and they see you on a constant basis, they know you're for real and they actually might give you the time.
So this idea of lack of spaces or venues, do you think that's improving at all?
No.
Are you part of this improvement? No.
BAMS Festival, I think, is setting a benchmark of how you can use space in a very different way when you consider all the elements of the human experience for those who've been marginalized. That's a very different way of thinking. But also in the sense of venues, the very small ones that are trying, they don't get the support and funding that they need to really welcome all different art disciplines and music genres. I think it's the larger institutions that get the 97% of funding really got to modernize their stuff and not be afraid of change. really.
Well, speaking of change, Tori Bullock.
Yes, yes.
And venues. Boston is your venue. It's your canvas. It's everywhere. Everywhere. Is, I mean, you film on the streets of Boston, and that's where you do your art. And I'm wondering, thinking about venues, how did you decide to make that the space that you use?
Because there weren't any venues.
so you took them all.
Well, yeah, I just took it all. It really became a very interesting thing because I was like, oh, I want to shoot videos in Boston. And if you want to do something as simple as shoot videos in Boston, what does that actually mean? Well, I want to rent a space to shoot. What does that space have to look like? How big does that space have to be? Can I rent a space for an hour somewhere? Or do I have to commit myself to a week-long run of something? So because there was a lack of space, I just sat in my car, made a video. And then it just started to evolve into this thing where, like you said, the entire city is literally my set.
And you know, we heard at the top there, you know, luxury condos, you do videos walking down the street. And you remind us that even that simple act can be complicated walking down the street of a city. For example, I have a clip here from a couple of years ago. It's during the unrest in Ferguson, Missouri, following the fatal police shooting of Michael Brown. And here's what you say about a man who walked by you.
He's walking toward me, and it's just me and him on the street. And he looks up at me and gives me the glance. We all know the glance. And then he immediately crosses the street and keeps walking. That story completely represented this entire Ferguson situation to me. The entire world is Ferguson. The entire world has been Ferguson for me and countless other African-American men since I was born.
Mm. So, for you, is Boston Ferguson?
I think the world is still Ferguson. I mean, I don't know if people, like, know this or not, but the world is kind of can be a racist place and can be a kind of very judgy and not the best place for everybody who doesn't necessarily look like you. So yeah, for me, Boston is still that place that we're doing a little better with the support. But honestly, I like where we are because it's forcing artists to say, hey, yell and scream and to say, hey, I'm here. You should need to listen to me.
So you both are here. You're on the Artery 25 list. What do you hope to see in Boston's arts future?
Chaos, man. I want chaos in the best way. I just want to be a place where there's so much stuff happening.
Absolutely.
And so many different types of artists and so many different types of artwork just going on and really letting the rest of America and the world know that Boston is really a place to be because the artists are taking over, you know?
Catherine?
Absolutely. I think for me, I want the city and the state to be in a place where people, whether they're transplants or residents or permanent folks, to not look at it as where can I go where there are all the black and brown people, but rather what are you interested in? And let's find a place where you could potentially find folks that identify with you. I want to get to that point because we're in a time where a lot of people that come here are like, I want to go where all the black people are, all the Dominicans. I'm like, that's great, but that's not how the city is built right now. Mm-hmm. So I want to get to a place where it's more about interest specific versus race based.
And we're all aging. You'll be millennials forever, but how do you hope to inspire? I know we don't have a ton of time left. How do you hope to inspire the folks that come next?
I mean, for me, it's plant your seed and have many people invest in your legacy, and they will follow literally in those footsteps.
Yeah, Jordan. For me, it's knowing that you can do literally anything that you want to do, and all you have to do, you're walking around with a camera in your phone 24 hours a day. We're all creative. Find your voice and make some noise.
Well, thank you for sharing your voices here today. That's performance artist Tori Bullock and Catherine Morris. She's founder and executive director of Boston Arts and Music Festival. They're both part of the Artery 25. That's 25 millennials of color to watch in Boston Arts. You can meet the others at wbur.org/artery. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.